Good morning, everybody. Daf and Sukkah, Daf Dal, and thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learned. Lezecher Lo is Zaltzman Lupin. We're in the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, and the Gemara yesterday had a discussion regarding continuation of the discussion of Sukkah. We are into the first parak of the Masechta, and our topics of discussion has been the dimension of the Sukkah, primarily the height. Height of the Sukkah has been the topic of discussion for the first two Dapim of the Masechta, where the Gemara discussed how there has to be a maximum height of 20 Amos. The Sukkah can't exceed 20 Amos. Why should that be? So the Gemara and Daf Beis gave us three explanations of why that should be. The Gemara and the Daf Beis and Beis gave us three possible exceptions in terms of when it would be okay for the Sukkah to be higher than 20 Amos, although as we pointed out, Shulchan Aruch goes like Rava, Pasen's like Rava. That there really are no exceptions. The Sukkah cannot be over 20 Amos high. Yesterday's Daf Gimel, we spoke a little bit about the minimum area, the base area of a Sukkah. And what is the minimum base area of a Sukkah? That's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara ruled like Beis Shammai, one of the rarities in Halacha, where we would fall like Beis Shammai, and that a Sukkah cannot be greater than Rosh Aruba V'Shulchanim. We went off on a tangent in the Gemara yesterday, in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara talked about the Halachas that relate to bias. Gemara drew a basic distinction between Sukkah and Bayis. Sukkah has to be Dira Sarai, has to be a temporary structure. So therefore, the Sukkah could be a makeshift building, but a house, the Bayis has to be something which is more permanent and something which is more structurally sound. Therefore, the Gemara pointed out that everyone agrees that when it comes to a Bayis minimum dimension is 4x4 Amos, which is about 8x8 feet. When it comes to Sukkah could be much smaller. As we pointed out, the Sukkah, the base minimum area of a Sukkah is 7x7 Tefachim. 7x7 Tefachim, you're talking about approximately 28 inches by 28 inches. It's obviously a much smaller structure, fine, but that's the basic difference. Sukkah is a Diras Arai, and a house and a Bais is a Diras Keva. We noted yesterday's daf that there are many halachas that relate to Bais, meaning that when something has a qualification of a Bais, so it's subject to mezuzah, and then the Gemara went through nearly a minion of examples of halachas in regard to a bias. There's one halacha that we haven't yet explored. We're going to do that today. Really, it's the end of yesterday's daf. We're going to just wrap it up. And then we're going to get into today's daf. Today's daf, a lot of visual demonstrations in today's daf. In fact, in preparation, I got two up on the board. Okay, that's my artwork for today. The Gemara that we left ourselves off with yesterday is a halacha of dividing of an estate. Okay, Eina Achim VaShutfin. If you look in the Gemara, we're on Gimel Amud Beis. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Eina Achim VaShutfin Cholkim Bo. So if I have brothers, if I have partners who are dissolving an estate, so they said that each one of them needs to have a house. And if I don't have a house, so then it doesn't get divided. And again, in our discussion, a house by definition is 4x4 Amos. So time is always Beidal Amos. Ha'is Beidal Amos Cholkin. So the Gemara says, that sounds funny. So it sounds like if it's not 4x4, so then we don't divide. But if it is 4x4, we do. V'atanan, the Gemara says, yeah, but we have our Mishnah Baba Basra. In other words, if you want to know where you can find all the halachas regarding estates and the division of estates and inheritances, et cetera, so you go to Baba Basra. So the Gemara over here quotes the Gemara Baba Basra, the Mishnah Baba Basra. Ein cholkin asachatzer ashe bo arba amos azeh, ba arba amos azeh. So the Gemara says, in terms of the division of an estate, and specifically a courtyard, so each one has to have, the only time that you divide an estate is going to be only when this one has four amos and this one has four amos. Otherwise, it doesn't get divided, says the Mishnah and Baba Basra. So la'ema, so the Gemara says, you're right. Point well taken. Ein bo din chalukah. So the Gemara says it doesn't have a din chalukah. Now the next word in the Gemara we have it is kachatzer. The other gear is bachatzer. But in other words, we're not talking about the division of a house. You're right. In terms of the division of a house, it has to be where the only time we're going to divide a house amongst the partners or amongst the brothers who are dividing the estate is only if each one of them gets 4x4 amos. Fine. We're not discussing that. What we're discussing is the halach of dividing a courtyard. So the Gemara says, "Amar Ravuna chasal fi psacha mitzchalakas." The Gemara here talks about the division of a courtyard. Now, basically, it goes like this. We'll do this quickly because we have a lot of sukkah halachas to cover, and this is really just came by way of tangent. But basically, it goes like this: if we have, let's say, a courtyard that's owned by, let's say, two brothers who inherited the estate from the father, and they divided the houses in the courtyard. Now, let's just assume, let's leave out the oldest, and let's just assume it was an equal 50-50 division of houses. So in other words, so how does the houses get divided? So usually you'd say, you get two houses in the courtyard, the entire courtyard was owned by the father leave the entire estate to the kids, so you'll get two houses, I get two houses. Okay, fine. That's normally how it would go. But let's say one of the houses is magnificent. So as long as the brothers agree, look, it's a division of value. So as long as the brothers agree, I'll take the magnificent house. Let's say it's one house, but it's beautiful. And you'll take the three smaller houses. Fine. Okay. And they agree to such a division. Fine. So in other words, so one brother now assumes ownership of one house, a large house, and the other brother assumes ownership of the three smaller houses. Fine. Enough is enough. They had enough of each other, and now not only do they want to now they not only divided the houses, but they want to divide the courtyard as well. Meaning, we're going to make a full division of our properties, and you will get your share, and I will get my share. How do we divide a courtyard? That's a question, and that is discussed in the Gemara Baba Basra, and the Gemara over here points it out. So the Gemara says, "The Amar Rav Huna Chasto Lefi Psacheha." So Rav Huna says the division of a courtyard is based on the number of doors that you have into the courtyard. So Rashi explains over here, look, what's the prime function of a courtyard? A courtyard, I understand it's real estate, I understand you could look at it geographically, linearly, but Rashi says, no, don't look at it that way. The prime function of a courtyard is access to get from the street to your house. Okay. The more doorways you have, the more need you have for that courtyard. So Rav Huna is of the opinion that regardless of how big this person's house is, how big your houses are, it doesn't matter. There will be an equitable division of the courtyard, but when I say equitable, relevant, related to the number of doorways. So the guy who has three doorways, the brother who has three doorways, he has three houses, has three doorways, so he gets three quarters of the courtyard. The brother who has a magnificent house, but he only has one doorway opening up to the courtyard, he only gets a quarter of the courtyard. Okay, that's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that you divide the courtyard based on the number of houses. And Rav Chista Amar, and Rav Chista says, no, that's not how the courtyard is divided. Notice in the Chol Pesach, Chol Pesach Arba Amos, here's what we'll do. Every courtyard, every door that opens up into the courtyard, so he'll get four Amos, meaning draw a line parallel to the two sides of the doorway, go out four Amos, and that is yours. In other words, you have claim to those four Amos in the courtyard. And everyone who has a doorway into the courtyard is going to do this, is going to do such. So we're going to cut out from the courtyard the four Amos that are in front of everyone's door, because that belongs to them. Then what you do is, then you survey the rest of the courtyard, v'hasha'ar, cholken osa b'shaveh. And after surveying the rest of the courtyard, then you do a division based on the number of partners there are who are dissolving the courtyard. So if I have two brothers dissolving the courtyard, regardless of the fact that one has three houses and the other one has one house, but as long as there are two people who are dividing the courtyard, so they get now an equitable division of the courtyard based on the actual linear measurement of the courtyard. Again, cutting out the four Amos that are in front of your doorway. That, says Rav Chista, is how you do it. So the Gemara says, now, all this brings us back to our point. And all this is true if you own a house, meaning you only get rights to the courtyard when you have a house in the courtyard. But if you don't have a house in the courtyard, so then you no longer have rights in the courtyard. And now we know with the definition of the house, as we've been saying since the end of yesterday's daf, is four amas. So once you have a four ama by four ama house, that has a qualification of a house, and therefore you have rights to divide the courtyard. How the courtyard gets divided? So as we just learned, it's machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. But regardless of how we hold, the discussion only begins for you only when you have a house. But high to the mitzvah kai, but if you have something that's less than 4x4 amos, that doesn't have a status of a house. It doesn't stand to last. It stands to be taken down. Lo yavin lechatzer, so therefore he's not entitled to any part of the chatzer. Period. So the Gemara says that's another halacha that will relate to the halachas of bais, of house. Okay, adkan. Okay, that finishes up yesterday's daf, and it really finishes up the topic of bais. And now we go back to sukkah. Okay, for the remainder of today, almost the entirety of today's daf, we're going to be talking a lot about dimensions, and today's a visually challenging day. We'll start off the discussion with the following. Let's say your sukkah is higher than 20 amas. Now, as we pointed out, can't be. Sukkah that's higher than 20 amas is no good. So you want to rectify the situation. So one simple way to rectify the situation is go to the top. I know it's really high off the ground, 20 amas off the ground, 20 plus, you're now 40 feet off the ground, and simply chop off the top of the sukkah so that now it's under 20. That's one solution. But the Gemara over here now is going to give another solution. So let's say instead of chopping off the top, here's what you do. You add to the floor. You create some sort of platform on the ground. So now you're stepping up into your sukkah. So when you're in the interior of your sukkah, you're actually going to be under 20 amos from the top. So is that good? So basically the answer is going to be yes, but it depends. And what does it depend on? What material you use in order to create that platform. So the Gemara over here makes the following distinction. Let's say you use pillows or cushions. That's no good. Because as Rashi points out, you don't plan to really leave it there. Rashi says, lo havimit, the last Rashi on the Amud. These are valuable items. They're pillows. They're right. The people need them. So you're not going to leave them there for 7 consecutive days. So therefore, it doesn't become bottled to the ground. It doesn't become a permanent fixture of the ground. And therefore, you can't really say that that's a platform raising the floor of the sukkah. So fine. And let's say you make a pledge and you say, you know what? Look, I want the sukkah to work. It's over 20 amos. I'm going to raise the floor of the sukkah. And I know I'm using pillows. I promise and pledge that I'm going to keep the pillows over there. Doesn't work. And it doesn't help. The Gemara employs a principle, bala daita etzukol adam, which is that, to put it simply, you're weird. and you may say to yourself, and you may even say out loud, I'm going to leave it there. But in terms of halachic principles, it's based on norms, the norms of society. And you are an outlier. You're pledging that your pillows are going to be there and kept there the entirety of Sukkot, for the 7 days of Sukkot. You're an outlier, and therefore your position is just simply going to be disregarded. Even for you, it's going to be disregarded. Okay. Tevenu bitlo havimia. Now, let's move to another material. It's a harder material. Certainly could be used to raise a floor, but also truth of the matter is that it could have other function to it, and that is straw. Now, straw is great. Straw, you lay straw down. Back in the good old days, straw was their beds. So they would put straw down, lie down, and go, okay, good, you have a bed. So in other words, why don't we lay the interior floor of the sukkah with straw, raising the floor, and thereby minimizing the height, so that now you are within 20 amos of the roof of the sukkah, of the schach of the sukkah. Great, the problem is it's straw. Straw's got other functional use. You can feed it to your animal, you can use it as fire, as fuel. So tevenu bitlo have a miut. So if I use straw, but with the straw, I have to make a declaration and say, I plan on leaving the straw there for the duration of the 7 days of Sukkot, that would work. And kol shekein afer ubitlo. And the same thing would be true with dirt. I mean, what better way to raise the floor than to use actual dirt itself? Tevin veinasa lifnoso.
Bittle for dirt?
It doesn't sound like you even need it, but yes. The answer is yes. Now, Tevin vein asa lifnoso, v'afer stam machlokas. Now, what if it's Tevin, it's straw, and I have no plans for it? Or, let's say it's dirt, but I don't make any type of declaration regarding it. So what is going to be the status of these items? Okay? Answers the Gemara. Here we get to a machlokas. Okay, so before we get to the machlokas, so here's, with the extremes we know, and we're very clear on. If I have something expensive like pillows and I put it down, and I even make a declaration, I plan on leaving this here for 7 days, so simply put, you're weird, it's not going to work, it's not going to be mevato. It won't add to the interior space of the sukkah, and that didn't help you. If you take straw, or if you take dirt, and you put it down, and you're mevato, so then it would be fine. It's now considered part of the floor of the sukkah. It actually raises the interior space of the sukkah, and now you're within 20 amos, and that would be fine. Those are the extremes. That's what we know to be so. Where there's going to be a machlokas is the following. What if I have tevin, but I didn't say anything? I don't have plans to move it, but quite frankly, again, it's very useful. I could use it for my animal. I could use it for fuel. And offer stam. And I have offer, but I didn't say anything. Okay, so machlokas Rav Yossi Rabbanan. So the Gemara says that this turns into a debate between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim and the Mishnah in Oalos. quickly, let's just remind ourselves of the halachas of Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis is unusual, it's odd, it transmits Tumah in a way that no other Tumah does, and that is through what's called Ohel. What happens is if we have a mace, if we have human remains here in this room, so the Tumah is going to go up, hit the roof, and now, obviously the distance between the mace is lying on the ground over here, and the Tumah goes up and hits the roof, obviously it's a distance, about a 10-foot distance between the human remain and the roof, so the Tumah is going to hit the roof, spread out over the roof, and drop down every area, airspace in this room. Okay, and then there's a doorway, and you open the doorway, and then perhaps it goes out, but that's, right now, we don't need that information. But, fine. What if there is a roof, but the roof is really low? In fact, the roof is so low, it hovers directly over the mace. In fact, it's so low, it doesn't even provide a tefach of airspace between the dead and the roof above it. Then what happens is that the roof doesn't stop the tumah, doesn't spread the tumah, but rather what happens is that the tumah now just simply goes right through the roof and just continues to go straight up. Okay? Until what point in time? Ad infinitum. It doesn't stop. So these are the basic rules regarding Tumas Meis. The Mishnah of Noelos discusses the following scenario. Bias. I have a house, Shemilu Tevin Otsraros. Ubitolo Mivutal. If I have a house that's filled with straw or pebbles, and I was mevatel, in other words, I decided, and I made a verbal declaration that I plan on keeping it there. Okay, so in other words, it's a house with no airspace. The house is filled with straw or with pebbles. And I made a verbal declaration, I said I'm going to keep it there. And in this scenario, there's a mace in the house. So now, the straw and the tevin, and the straw has become batel. And what therefore happens, explains Rashi, is that the human remains now has the tumah going in what direction? Straight up. What about the fact that there's a roof over the top of the mace? It's not a roof. Because a roof needs airspace. And here there is no airspace. And the tevin that's occupying the airspace is considered there. I was mevatalit. And therefore, the tumah of the mace just simply continues to go straight up.
Is the mace laying on top of all this?
No, the mace is buried underneath. So
what you're doing, you're eliminating all the airspace between the mate and the
roof. Correct. That's exactly what's happening. So now the Gemara reads the Mishnah Noelos and makes one very simple point. Bitolo in. In the Mishnah Noelos, you're a mevatel. You actually said, I'm going to verbally nullify it. So lo bitolo lo. But if you said nothing, so that means that I plan on removing it, even though it's physically there. Halachically, we consider it as if it's not there, and therefore it's as if that the mace is in the house with no straw or no pebbles. And therefore what's going to happen is that the tumah is going to go up to the roof, hit the roof, and stop, and spread out and drop to every area underneath the roof. Utaniyala. Fine, that's the position of the Tanakhama. Now the Mishnah notes that we have a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi, or Metevin, Veinasi, Lifnosa. Hareyukah, first time, that if I have straw and I don't plan on moving it, it's like offer. It's like dirt. Ubatel, and therefore becomes batel. Offer Vasi, Lifnosa. If I have dirt but I plan on moving it, Harekistam, Tevin, Velo, batel. Then it's like straw, where I said nothing, and therefore it becomes batel. But anyway, but what comes out is that Rabbi Yossi disagrees. So in other words, and now this machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi will reflect also in our state, in our case as well. In our case, where I have a sukkah that's higher than 20 amas, and I want to lay down straw on top in order to create a higher interior floor, so that the distance between the floor and the ceiling now is less than 20 amas. So again, if I use pillows, that never will work. If I use pebbles and I'm mevatel, that does work. What if I use pebbles and I'm not mevatelit? So the Gemara points out, that's a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. And just like we saw regarding the Mishnah Oelos, they argue whether it's considered there or not. So over here, same thing. It's going to be the same machlokes. Okay. At Khan, that takes us through the raising of the floor. Haisa gavo me esrim ama vihurtsin yordan besil chafama. Okay. Another case. Let's say the sukkah is over 20 amas. And, you know, especially for those of us who use fronds, you see this all the time. So the fronds dip into the sukkah. Okay? Sometimes it gets a little too much. Sometimes you trim a little bit. But in other words, the fronts are coming down. In this case, you want the fronts to come down. Why? Because the actual schach itself is higher than 20 amos, which is no good, which is a disqualified sukkah. But now, if you have fronts coming down into the 20 amos, so that's good. Provided that, says the Gemara, if I took a cross-section of only the portion of the fronts that are below 20 amos, and you take a cross-section of that, and if that, meaning minus that which is on top of it, has a density where there's more shade than sun, then the sukkah would be a good sukkah. Why? Simple. Because now you have kasher schach. Granted that I have schach above the 20 amos, but basically I ignore that. And it's, that doesn't do anything for me. But if I have schach that's below the 20 amos, and as long as its density is that it has more fronds than airspace, so then it would be fine. Then it would be a good sukkah.
When you first built the sukkah and put the original sukkah, it wasn't a kosher sukkah, right?
Okay.
So you're rectifying it by adding sukkah that's going to dip down below.
Well, either that or when you originally built it, even though it was higher than 20 amos, but you put enough sukkah in and the sukkah is dropping and dipping down. So then it would be fine. Either way, it's fine. You could rectify a sukkah after you made it. Okay.
Is this a sukkah that's less than 4 by 4
amma? No. This sukkah is for... We're no longer discussing area. This is just an issue of height. This is a height issue.
The 20 is accepted if it's more than 4 by 4? The 20...
No. We make no qualifications. Meaning, I know we spent the first 2 days of the Gemara discussing there may be qualifiers, but let's keep the discussion simple. No qualification. Sukkah can't be over 20 amos. Period. Okay, it's easy and it happens to be correct, meaning that's the accepted halacha. So fine. So in other words, so once it's over 20 amos, it's no good. And now we're discussing when the fronds are actually dropping in. Okay. Next case. So let's go the other direction. Let's say now we already learned back in the Mishnah that the minimum height of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. As we pointed out, that's really small. It's about 3 feet off the ground. Let's say I have a sukkah that's exactly 10 tefachim. Okay, got to drop down to get into the sukkah. And I put schach on top of such a structure. But here, now the fronds are actually dipping into the sukkah. Now already you're talking about a really low area. But the fronds are dropping in. But they're not a lot of fronds. Let's even say that, once again, I take a cross-section of the fronts that are below 10 tefachim, and it turns out over here the inverse of what we discussed previously, where it's mostly air, and let's say 40% of it is fronts, right, or kosher schach. So here I would have argued it's fine. In fact, the Gemara is ready to make that argument. So Abai says, let's argue that if I have more sun than shade, meaning it's more air than it is actual fronds, that are below the 10th fachim drop, so then you should be fine. Because much like in the previous case where it was above 20 amos, and it dropped into the 20 amos, and there we said that if there's more tzel than chama, it's good. So because now I have a cross-section of schach, which below the 20 amma mark is enough to register kosher schach, here too, if I have more sun than shade, then it should be fine as well. Because basically I can ignore it. The Gemara says, Amalei Rava, Hadiras Trucha, Hi Vein Adam Dar, Bidiras Trucha. So Rava dismisses Abai's argument. He says no. Because again, just a simple visual will realize that the cases are not the same. And this is really difficult. Because basically what you have now is you have a 10 tefach sukkah, you have schach on top, and you have fronds going into the sukkah. Now granted that, if I cross-section the area that's below 10 tefachim, I will see that there's more air than the actual fronts. But can you imagine sitting in such a sukkah? The Gemara, the way Rava describes it, is it's a dira srucha. Right? It's a disgusting dira. Meaning you're basically, you're in a forest, in a dense forest, and there's nowhere for you to room, to move. You're sitting underneath. You already are dealing with a bare minimum of a 10 tefachim, and now you got fronds poking into your face and poking into your food, and Rava says it's a dira srucha, and therefore it's no good. Right? Discussion that occurs amongst the Rishonim. Does he mean that it's no good min haTorah? Does he mean that it's no good rabbinically? Where did he come up? Exactly. Where did he come up with this concept of dir srucha? So those are good questions.
I guess the principle of srucha is it's got to be a livable
correct
environment. And he's saying that it's not livable.
Correct. But where does this come from? Well, he doesn't bring a source for this. Okay, that's worthy of a discussion, and that's where that goes beyond the daf. These next two cases over here, you'll observe my artwork. Right now we're looking at the picture that's to your left. Okay, your sukkah is higher than 20 amos. So in other words, from the floor, I say floor, I mean not this itztaba. How do I say itztaba in English? Platform. Okay. So in other words, what we're talking about from here to here, so it's greater than 20 amos. Okay, so without obviously it's no good. But then what I do is I build an itztaba, I build a platform. And in the sukkah to your left, so the platform that I built was flush against the back wall. And as you're standing on the platform, the distance now between the platform and the sukkah and the schach is within 20 amos. So that's good. But then, of course, the Gemara makes a qualification, which I assume we all would have assumed, and that is that on the platform itself, the area of the platform has to be the minimum area of a kosher sukkah, which, as we learned yesterday, was 7x7. So as long as you have that, kshera. Now, the sukkah is kosher. Now, okay, so Rashi over here has the following discussion, and this makes this interesting, very interesting. The sukkah is going to be kosher, so certainly you put a table on the platform, you put chairs on the platform, and you're good to go. Rashi, however, suggests not only is this area going to be good, this area also is going to be good. How did Rashi know that? So we're going to take a look at Rashi together, and Rashi is going to argue that both the platformed area and the non-platform area is good. Says Rashi, how do I know that? So you take a look at Rashi Kshera. It's not the really wide lines, not the narrow lines, the medium sized lines of Rashi. About five lines down Kshera. So Rashi says even from the platform and forward, because Rashi says, look, the back wall totally kosher, right? We see that. And now the side walls running along the platform, they're also kosher. So in other words, what do I have? I'm starting with a base of a kosher sukkah. Three walls. So the sukkah only needs three walls. So good. So the back walls kosher, the side walls that are corresponding to the platform are also kosher. So now that I'm starting with a kosher sukkah, Amrin al-Kamen Sarashi says, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to relate this to a Gemara that we're going to see together in Daf Yotes. And the Gemara in Daf Yotes talks about the following. Now, sometimes misread, and I'm probably going to be guilty of the same, Pesel hayotze min hasukkah nidon kesukkah. Now, Pesel over here, Rashi is about to explain, Pesel does not mean disqualified. Pesel over here means schach. Schach that comes out of a sukkah is judged as a sukkah. And the Gemara over there will explain that if I have a kosher sukkah, meaning I have the base element of a kosher sukkah, and then I have schach emerging from such a sukkah, and why in the world are we using the word pesel to describe schach? Because schach is leftovers of the vineyard, the psoles, the leftovers of the vineyard, all the vines, which were used for schach, shezeu darkon liasos, v'yotze mehechsher sukkah, shein lo hechsher defanos, nidon kesukkah. So now, I don't have a visual right now for the Gemara and Daf Yotes. For those of you who have picture books, you want to look at Daf Yotes, you'll see pictures of exactly what we mean over there. But basically, you start with a kosher sukkah, there is schach kind of rolling out beyond the walls. The area under the schach is also kosher, even though it's not circumscribed by walls. Because of this principle of pesel hayotze min hasukkah, nidon kesukkah. Rashi says, same over here. Hilka, kol hasukkah kamoshi gedola kshera. So Rashi says, same thing over here. As long as I have a base kosher sukkah, which I do, the back wall this side wall running right up to the platform. So this already creates a base kosher sukkah. And now anything that is coming forward from it also is going to be considered kosher sukkah as well. So says Rashi. My gut tells me that Rishonim argue with Rashi. I got to do a little bit more research to see who does. But, okay, that is Rashi's opinion.
The same concept as part of the day includes the whole day.
I don't think so. These are structural concepts. These are not... Okay.
What's the size of the platform that's coming out?
It has to be a minimum of a kosher sukkah. So it has to be minimum 7x7 tefachim. Okay. Next case.
So it has to be a large sukkah like that.
Huh? Correct. Next case is going to be basically the same as the first case. This is now the picture to your right, but here the platform was constructed. I know I have the platform basically going into the middle of nowhere. Fine. So, but anyway, the platform is such where I built it on the side. This is what's called Ixtab min Asad. So we go back to the Gemara and we look now at the second case. Umin Hatsad. Now what if I built it from the side? Im yesh misfas itzabala kosel dal amas psula pachos marabamas kshera. Here says the Gemara, there is another principle, another thing to keep in mind. Now I know I made this very narrow, but once again, let's assume that the area on the platform itself is 7x7 tefach. The Gemara says over here, it'll work, but with one condition. And the first time in the Masechta, we're going to get introduced to a concept. Now, Ben asked the question, where's the third wall? Here's wall number one, here's wall number two. Wall number two, obviously, going right up to this point. Where is the third wall? Now, again, this wall is all the way out in the middle of nowhere, and this wall is greater than 20 amos. We have a principle, which we're going to see in the Gemara come up, and the Gemara is talking about it right now, and that's the principle of Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma is that we can take a vertical wall and bend it, but only a little bit. When we say a little bit, how much is a little bit? So the distance between here and here cannot be greater than 4 amos. 4 amos, again, each amos is about 2 feet, so about 8 feet, approximately. So if this distance between here and here is less than 4 amos, so basically the principle of Dofen Akuma tells me that this vertical wall goes up, and the vertical wall will bend a little bit. And the bending wall is fine. How do we know this? Is this halacha Moshe Messina? It's part of the oral tradition. And so therefore, as long as the area between here and here is less than 4 amos, so this chach over here is what? The third wall. Part of the third wall.
But you usually can't sit under a dofen akuma.
Right. So, right. Now,
versus it's kosher.
Right. So that makes the point that he's correct. Meaning over here, Rashi made the argument that this area over here is totally kosher, even though it's greater than 20 amos. Here, however, dofen akuma is telling you that this schach over here is not schach. It's wall. Again, the principle of dofen akuma. And so, therefore, you can't sit under this area, because sitting under this area, I know from a... Again, there's a lot to digest in today's daf, but sitting under this area here over here is be no different than sitting under the wall. Now, you normally can't sit under a wall, because normally a wall is vertical. But, based on the principle of Dofen Akuma...
You're saying you're basically nullifying that space. You're saying that space doesn't exist.
Now, right? How exactly Dofen Akuma works? So that's, again, that's more in depth. It's much more in depth. But the Gemara says that you use the principle of Dofen Akuma, that would work. But it only would work if the distance between the edge of the platform and the wall to the right is less than 4 amos. Once it's greater than 4 amos, I lose the principle of Dofen Akuma, and therefore you only have a sukkah with 2 walls. And that obviously is no good.
The same language Kshera, but in one case it's referred to the whole sukkah.
Yeah, so if you're going to start arguing with Rashi, you can argue from a principle standpoint, and you can argue from a textual standpoint. And textually, that's how you would argue with Rashi. Because now, according to Rashi, right, in case number one, the entire sukkah is good. In case number two, only the platform area is good. Okay, excellent point. So pachos me'arba'amus k'shera, my kamash malan, darmina dofen akuma. So the Gemara over here, even though to us it's like, wow, really? The Gemara looks at this and says, what's the big deal? Dofen akuma? We knew this already. Tanina, right? The Gemara gets annoyed when all we're doing is just basically repeating a principle that we knew already. So the Gemara says, it's a braisa. If I have a house that caves in, so basically now I have a house missing a roof. So, but there's still edges of the roof, and then I just lay schach on top of it. So again, as long as the distance between the actual wall and where the schach begins, it's less than 4 amos, it's kosher. Otherwise, it's no good. And again, it's the principle of Dofen Akuma. So the Gemara says, so once I know that already, so then what are you bothering me with this case over here? This is just another example of Dofen Akuma. And the Gemara says, then it's a retread. Okay, so the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, no. There is a Chiddush over here. This is a worthwhile venture to look at this particular case. What makes this case exceptional is the following. This wall, which I'm counting as my third wall based on the principle of Dofen Akuma, is greater than 20 amos. So from a halachic standpoint, this wall by itself wouldn't serve as a good wall for a sukkah, because it's greater than 20 amos. Now, not, or whatever, let's just leave it like that. So it's because it's greater than 20 amos, so I might have thought, you can't use it for Dofen Akuma, it's not a kosher wall for a sukkah. That's why the Gemara goes out of its way to say no, because essentially what's going to happen, and again, this is where it gets a little more technical and a little more analytical, because now what Dofen Akuma does basically is it takes this wall and kind of slides it over to this side. So even though the wall is greater than 20 amos, but Dofen Akuma basically allows us to look at this wall and slide it over and basically hug the other edge of the platform. Okay. Haisa gavoa mechaf amo bana itzaba beemtzi osa. Okay, I didn't draw a picture over here, but based on these two pictures, now this next case is an easy visual. And over here, in this next case, I'm building a platform in the middle of the sukkah. Okay, so it's an island in the sukkah. And the walls of the sukkah are greater than 20 amos. In yesh mitzvah sitzaba ledofen 4 amos, l'chol ruch v'ruch, psula pachos me 4 amos k'sheira. So the Gemara says again, so here, good or no good? If the distance between the wall and the edge of the platform on each side is less than 4 amos, so basically I can now use Dofen Akuma on each one of the sides.
You can, so you cannot.
Huh? You can, says the Gemara. So my kamashwan damina Dofen Akuma hainoach. So again the Gemara says, okay, that's wonderful, but are you telling me anything new? It's the same point. So Mao de Tema Dofen Akuma Muruchachasamina aval koruch viruch lo kamashmalan. So the Gemara says, no, actually once again, there's something to be learned in this case as well. Dofen Akuma, I might have thought I could work for one wall. Meaning maybe the Dofen Akuma wall is an exceptional wall, a dispensation, but only can be a one-time use. But to use Dofen Akuma for all three walls, that's already extraordinary. Maybe it's too much. The Gemara says it's exactly the point. Dofen Akuma is considered a wall. It is a halachic principle that creates a wall. But once a wall, and therefore it works even on all three sides. Haisa p'chusa miyutfachim. Okay, next case. Once again, these all, if you have a picture for these cases, it's really good. I only drew two pictures today. Whatever, you got shortchanged. In this case over here, you have a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim. So once again, we learned that the minimum height of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. Here, your sukkah is less than 10 tefachim. So what do? So here, you need to go in the other direction. So you dig a ditch in the sukkah. Good? Yes, but no problem, but when you're digging the ditch has to be within the three tefachim of the wall. The edge of the ditch has to be within three tefachim of the wall. Obviously, the total height between the bottom of the ditch and the schach has to be greater than 10 tefachim, but the actual distance between the edge of the ditch and the wall of the sukkah has to be less than 3 tefachim. Okay? Lavud. Good. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. When we were building platforms, so we were allowing a 4 amma gap, again, a little bit less than 4 amma gap, between the platform and the wall, and which is 8 feet. And here, now, in terms of the distance between the edge of the ditch and the wall of the sukkah, it can be greater than three tefachim. Why over here? Do we need the principle of lavud? So the Gemara draws the distinction. Well, first the Gemara asks the question: Ma'ishna hasa dami nepachas me'arba'amos? Ma'ishna hachadam me'arpachas me'shoshes tefachim? Hasa de'isa ledofen? So the Gemara says, well, over there, you already have a wall. It just is too high. In the case where the height of the wall is greater than 20 amas, and all I need to do is just simply build the platform, but the wall itself already is a self-standing wall. In the case of the sukkah where it's below 10 tefachim, I don't even have a wall. Meaning the first thing I need to do is make a wall. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm using the interior of the ditch and whatever wall I have to combine to create a wall. That's a whole different story. There, and now that here I'm making a wall, so now I need the principle of lavud. The principle of lavud is anything within three tefachim is viewed as if it's connected. So therefore, the distance between the wall of the sukkah and the wall of the ditch can be greater than three tefachim. Once it's less than three tefachim, it's as viewed as if it's connected, and now I'm making a wall. Mashenka, in these cases over here, I have a wall. I just need to connect the wall to my platform. Tofen akuma is all you need. Okay. Next. Haisa gavoa me'esrim ama ubana ba amud shegavoa asar tefachim v'yeshba hechcher sukkah. I have a sukkah that is higher than 20 amos, and I make an amud, and I make a platform. Sounds similar. Sounds like we've tackled this one already. This case is going to be fundamentally different for the following reason: the distance between this platform and the walls are greater than 4 amos, meaning dofen akuma is not going to work over here. So, I have an island, a little platform that I created within my sukkah area. And now what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be sitting on top of the platform. Again, if I sit on the floor of the sukkah, it's too high. The schach is beyond 20 amos. But if I jump onto the platform, so great. So now I'm in an area that is within 20 amos of the schach. I have but one small problem.
There's no walls.
No walls. It's not a small problem. So how big is the platform? Danny, you hit it right in the head. You know, you see where this is going. Shu'ama gavo asar tfachim. The platform itself is 10 tefachim high. Okay. We're going to introduce ourselves to a new...
The actual
height of the platform. We're going to introduce ourselves to a new halakhic concept today regarding walls. Today we already covered Dofen Akuma. We covered Lavud. We're going to introduce ourselves to a new idea, and that is good asik. The word good is Aramaic. It means wall. Asik in Aramaic means to go up. Walls extend up. And that means as follows, that as long as I have a platform that has already 10 tefachim, so 10 tefachim is a wall. And now what's going to happen is that the wall of the platform is halachically going to keep going up. Now we already learned back in Masechta Shabbos that if I have a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, so I can't transfer from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabbim. What we learned back there in Shabbos is that to create a Rishus HaYachid, I need an area of 4x4 and I need a height of 10 tefachim. We also learned that if I have a platform, and the platform is 10 tefachim high, the area on the top is a Rishus HaYachid. So why? It's based on the principle of good asik, the walls continue to go up. Here too, what the Gemara wants to argue is that the walls of the platform, I don't see myself being surrounded by walls. And again, the distance between the actual walls and the platform is greater than Dal Amos, so you don't have good, and you don't have Dofen Akuma. But basically, based on the principle of good asik, we're going to basically view the walls of the platform continuing to extend up. So I'm surrounded by halachic walls.
But in the sukkah has to go on after you put the platform in.
Fine. So let's say sequentially we did that. Your point is well taken, but okay, let's...
So you don't need walls, just sukkah.
So then you don't need walls. Savra bayla meimar, so that's exactly what a bayis thinking is. Good asik mechitzasa. You do have walls. They're halachic walls. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava b'ina mechitza senikars v'leika. So Rava now invokes a new principle regarding sukkah. You're right. From a halachic standpoint, they're walls. And halachically, we do have the principle of good asik. But it's not good for sukkah. For sukkah, the halach l'moshe misinai is, you have to be surrounded by physical walls. There actually have to be walls. So halachically, the halachic the halakhically created walls of Gudasik are insufficient.
So how does this work?
Well, this works because you actually have a wall. It's a physical wall. Good. Dofen Akuma, what Dofen Akuma does is it takes the wall and slides it over.
That's a virtual wall.
But it's yes and no. Meaning over here, it's a real wall. Right. Dofen Akuma just allows us to move it into this space.
If there was no wall, the roof would not bend down to make
no.
a wall?
No. 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 That, okay. We'll come that point we'll come back to later. Okay. In other words, it's the schach is based, it's resting on platforms. In this case over here, it's exactly Gemara's point. In this case over here, I have a platform sitting right in the middle. And the platform is again minimum 7x7 tefachim in terms of area and 10 tefachim high. And what the Gemara now is arguing, this was Abaye's argument, is that I have virtual walls.
The one all the way up.
Because these walls over here continue up.
To the sky.
Yep. And Rava says, good, that's true in other areas of halacha. But in Sukkah, Rava says, I need mechitzas nikaras.
The other one that you just erased, you need the sechach from the four amot to be there or not? Just the, even if there's no sechach.
No, it can't be air. It has to be something. Now, in the case that we have, it was schach, but there has to be something there. Airspace by itself is no good. Dofen Akuma means I'll bend the wall, but it has to be material there to bend. Okay. Let's finish up. Tanu Rabbanan. Natsar bakundusim v'sichech al gaban. Let's say I take four poles, I knock the four poles down the four corners, and I put schach on top of it. Okay, beautiful. Beautiful, but is it a good sukkah? So Rav Yaakov Machshir, Rav Yaakov Tana says it's kosher, and the Chachamim say it's possible, it's no good. Okay, so right now all we have is a basic scenario where four poles and four corners, like a chuppah, schach laid on top of it.
Surat HaPesach.
Okay. Oh, very good. Surat HaPesach. So it sounds like, well, it doesn't sound like, Rav Yaakov says it's good, and the Chachamim say it's no good. Now, that's the Tanayim. Now we get to the Amorayim. Sorry, I lost my place. Amar Avuna. Machlokes al Sfas Agag. Yeah. You know when we're having a debate? When I'm placing the four poles down on the top of a building, meaning that the Braisa didn't make this point clear, but Rav Huna says, but I will. We are not just dropping the poles down on the ground, we're dropping the poles down on the edge of a roof of a building. So now we have walls. Now I know that Rava just dismissed this idea. I'm aware of that. But what Rav Huna is arguing is, this is the machlokus between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim, where I drop the poles down on the four corners of the roof of the building, and now the argument is, Rabbi Yaakov is going to tell you, I got walls. Where are the walls? The halachically created walls by the side of the building that continue to go up. Rav Yaakov Savra Amin and Gudasik Mechitzasa. V'Rabbanan Savra Lo Amin and Gudasik Mechitzasa. Fine. That's the machlokus between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim. Aval Be'emsa Hagag. However, if I put the poles in the middle of the roof, meaning it is not flush against the edge of the roof, but it's in the middle of the roof, and I no longer have the principle of Gudasik. Or for that matter, even if I put the poles on the ground, on the floor, it'd be the same principle, it'd be the same story, which is, Divrei HaKol Psula, according to everybody, would be no good.
If it's less than the Olamot, can you combine the concept of
too much, too much. Hold it. Let's just work with what we have right now, and then afterwards you could discuss. Rav Nachman Amar Be'emsa Gag Machlokas, and Rav Nachman says no. The debate between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim and the Brice is talking about in the middle of the roof. So, Ibailu Bemsa Gag Machlokas Val Sfasa Gag Divrakok Shero, Duma Bembazu Machlokas. Now, the Gemara is asking on Rav Nachman, are you saying that they're arguing in the middle of the roof, but if we're on the edge of the roof, and I have the principle of Gudasik, are you telling me that they agree that it would be okay? Take who the Gemara says, I don't know. Rav Nachman's admitting that I know the Machlokas is in the middle of the roof, but I don't know what would be in the edge of the roof if they would continue to argue, or they would agree that this case would be okay. Meisve. The Gemara says, okay, but I have a braisa. Now it's dal kundusin ba'arz v'sichich al gaban. I throw the four poles in the corners and I place chach on top of it. Now, the key word in this braisa is what word? Ba'aretz. The four poles are placed where? On the ground. I don't have the principle over here of good osik. Rav Yaakov Machshav Chacham and Poslim. Now the Gemara makes a simple observation. The Haaretz Dekeem Sa'agag Dami. We're putting it on the ground is no different than putting it in the middle of the roof. The Kamachshav Rav Yaakov. And Rav Yaakov says it's fine, even though I don't have the principle of good osik. The four poles, for some reason, and it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't explain how this is working, but the four poles, for some reason, create enough of an enclosure where it would be okay. What do you show you? To Yufta, to Rav Huna, to Yufta. The Gemara says, okay, so what we've done is we've knocked out Rav Huna's interpretation of the Machlokas. So the Gemara says, Va'od Bam, so who depligi avas fasagag givrak kol kshera. Now the Gemara says, can we go now for not just one knockout, but can we knock out Rav Huna twice? Meaning, by virtue of the fact that they're arguing when it's in the middle of the roof, can't you also therefore argue that if it's on the edge of the roof, where I have the principle of good osik, that we have no debate, and everyone would say it's okay? So lema teavet yufta de Rav Huna batarte. And now comes out that Rav Huna is going to be argued two times over. Amlecha Rav Huna pligi bam tzagag v'hu adin al fasagag. Rav Huna says, no, look, you knocked me out once, but that, enough. Meaning, they're arguing where it's in the middle of the gag, they're also arguing on the edge of the gag. And the only reason why they're having an argument where it's in the middle of the roof is just simply to show you that Rav Yaakov believes, so firmly believes, that four poles by itself is sufficient, it's good enough, where it would be good even if I didn't have the principle of good osik. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we get a little more understanding of Rav Yaakov's position. I take four poles, I throw them down into the ground. Rav Yaakov says, fine. And we didn't ask the question, but now let's do so. How in the world should that be fine? We just learned that you need three walls to make a sukkah. So how are the four poles in the four corners going to be fine? So the Gemara over here says, because these are thick poles. And the poles are so thick that if we were to carve out, we'd be able to carve out a tefach of material going in this direction, and then in a 90 degree angle, a tefach of material going in the other direction. We learned back in Erevin, second perek, we spent an entire perek learning this, that if you're traveling on your way to Yerushalayim, and you want to make a makeshift Rishus HaYachid, all you need to do is make four brackets in the four corners, and that is considered an enclosure. As long as you bracketed the corners, that visually gives you the appearance as if you have an enclosed area, and that would work. What Rav Yaakov is basically doing is you take that principle that we learned in Erevin, and you translate it over here. Same principle over here. The four poles actually are serving as those bracketed areas. Now, even if the poles are circular, it doesn't matter. As long as I could see and carve out material of a tefach going in this direction and a tefach going in a 90 degree angle in that direction, and I do that in the four corners, I bracket it off the area. And then, just to finish up the daf, a chachamim omrim, achi ushtaim keuchasam ushlishit afilo tefach. And the chachamim say, look, those halachic wall considerations are great for Erevin and great for Rishus HaYachid. But once again, we are in the world of sukkah, and the wall requirement of a sukkah is actual wall, not halachic wall. Okay, I know we just went through a lot of information today. I'm aware of that. I realize that. We just got introduced to a plethora of halachic wall considerations. We did Dofen Akuma Lavud, Good Asik, Diyumad. Okay. Okay. It was just chock full of information. Hopefully, some of it was clear. And... okay, we'll continue obviously tomorrow with the two dots.